1963, I was at Reading High School, and Cy Morgan was out at the last game I pitched in Allentown. And from that day at a beat Allentown, I signed up with the Phillies, and the Phillies took me right to the big club. Mm-hmm. 1 week later, I was pitching in the Polo Grounds against Carl Hubbell, the last three innings of the game I pitched relief. Mm-hmm. I've never been so small scared in my life as it was that day there.
You were 17 or 18 at the
time? I was just turning 18, and I was figuring, with my father and my brothers already in service, three of them in, that I'd be going into service anyhow, so we might as well sign up and take a shot at it. And 1 week from 1 week to another, I'm in the big league, so that was it.
Now, you say you stayed with the Phillies throughout the season.
I stayed with the Phillies up until, I think it was September the 2nd, mm-hmm. and then I had to go in service in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And in that period of time, I was in nine ball games, mostly in relief. Mm-hmm. I pitched one full game. We went up to play Great Lakes up in the Navy base, north of Chicago. That's when Mickey Cochran, I think it was, had that great ball club up there. They won 58 and lost 7 that year, and lo and behold, I beat them that day.
No kidding.
That's one of the only games I lost to a rookie at my age, 18 years old. But I was proud of that, and I believe that helped me to stay there with the Phillies for the whole year.
Now, this means you joined the club while Bucky Harris was still manager that year.
Yes, we had Bucky Harris, and then they switched in Pittsburgh. They were going to have a trying to get a union in on this deal out there, and that particular time they switched to the former pitcher.
Freddie Fitzsimmons,
that's right,
well,
Big Freddie.
I know that the players almost went on strike because of the way William Cox had fired Harris. What do you specifically remember about it? I understand there was a meeting early in the morning.
There was a meeting,
players, and Merrill May chewed Cox out.
Yeah, that's right. And, well, I was pretty young then. I didn't know what was going on the legal end of it and then the manager end of it, but there was a lot of hullabaloo going on between Cox and Harris. And but I remember I was in the room and I looked at Bucky and it looked like he had tears in his eyes that he was going to leave the ball club. And they already had Fitzsimmons signed up, you might as well say. They knew what they were doing right there. But then when Cox lost the ball club, a lot of people were happy. Because I don't think he was a man to have an ownership of a ball club for some of the activities he was involved in before. But that's hearsay.
You say you went in the Navy. Did you play any service ball in the Navy?
I played a little with Treasure Island out there in San Francisco.
Is that where you took your boot training?
No, I took my boot training in Sampson, New York.
Okay.
And then after being shipped out of Baltimore right before Christmas, we went down to the Pacific. Mm-hmm. We were down there quite a while, at New Guinea and different places, invasion of New Guinea and all that. Saw a little action down in the South Pacific. Then we come back in the Frisco for a few months, and I got in a ball club there with Bill Posdell.
Oh, yeah.
He was the chief master at arms at that time. Mm-hmm. And on the ball club, we had a clumsy big center fielder. I'll never forget him. And a lot of people won't forget him either, Gus Zernial.
Oh, yes. So he was playing ball at that time.
Yes, he just started to play, and nobody actually knew of him, but he was a pretty good ball player from Hondo, Texas, I think they call it. That's where he came from. But later on in years, after looking around baseball world, here you see a fellow named Gus Zernial with Chicago, knocking the hell out of the ball.
So right.
That's who it was, Gus Zernial.
It was Zernial.
We had Hugh Luby, we had Dick Bartel was there. We had a boy named Johnny Mekovich. His brother George played with the Boston Braves years ago.
Right.
Johnny, later on, I ran into Johnny in the Texas League. Mm-hmm. Big strapping kid. I don't know if he ever went up to the
But this was a Navy team. It wasn't a local.
That was a Navy team. That was strictly Navy, and they had quite a few Major League ball players there. I know the powerful team was the St. Mary's Pre-Flight with Bill Rigney. Mm-hmm. He had a powerful Major League ball club over there, and they also had the greatest Navy football team was, I think it was Buddy Young.
Yes.
Buddy Young, and they had a pro team over there that could beat anybody in pro football that year. They had great teams.
I see.
I can remember things like that.
Now, what happened after you got out of the service? You came to spring training in 46 in Miami?
Well, when I came home, this was in March the 3rd, I think it was, and about March the...
Of 46?
Of 46, yes.
Yeah.
And Well, actually, I went down to Philadelphia Navy Yard, and I had to wait to get a couple extra points. I wasn't married. I had enough points for seed time and combat time and everything else, but across the desk from me was Stan Musial. He was getting out a little early before me, so they got him out. He went down spring training. I waited a few more days, and I got out, and then I went down to Miami, Flamingo Park. And that was really a thrill, like going to Florida spring training, you know.
Sure, sure.
Major
especially
club.
After getting out of the service, yeah.
I was tickled pink. And, well, that year they had so many ball players that came out of the service that had to stay with the big league club. They had a law, you know, that you must go back to the job you had when you went in service. And I was, I took an option. I went out on option to Utica, New York. Mm-hmm. I wanted to play ball. I wanted to pitch. It's no sense of staying in spring training and following around on the ball club. They could carry as many as they wanted at that time because of the law they had. So I said, I'll go out. And Joe Reardon sent me out an option to Utica, New York. And we had a manager.
Who was Joe Reardon?
Joe Reardon was a farm director for the Phillies. And he would take care of all the minor league players and the farm players. And so I went up to Utica, New York with Dale Jones and our manager up there was Eddie Sawyer.
Yes.
We had Eddie Sawyer then. But we had old Turkey Tyson, a fellow that never went to big leagues, but the great first baseman, Turkey Tyson, people remember him.
How long did you stay in organized ball? I know you didn't make it back to the majors.
Well, I stayed in organized ball till 1954, the Yankee organization. I helped Phil Page out up in Utica, New York. Binghamton, New York. That's right.
The Binghamton Class A farm.
But we had a couple young players up there, too, that became stars in their own. Bobby Richardson played second base.
Uh-huh.
And within 2 years after that, he was up in the big leagues making records. They had another young pitcher, the right-handed pitcher, I can't remember his name, from Oklahoma. He won quite a few games and he pitched in the World Series. He was on the same ball club.
Uh-huh.
But
Let's backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
I guess you didn't make spring training then at all with the Phillies.
I made spring training
except
with the Phillies.
46.
I made
not wartime spring training.
No, not wartime spring training. No.
Do any Phillies players stand out in your mind?
Philly ball players? You mean as far as great ball players or just gentlemen?
No, I just mean in general on that 43 club.
Well, that. Let's see.
How about Ron Northey?
Ron Northey was quite a ball player. He was quite a rifle arm. They always talk about our friend, my friend, too, down here in Stony Creek, Carl Ferrillo, the rifle arm. But I think Ron Northey had as good as arm, if not better than Carl Ferrillo. But Carl had a great arm, and so did Ron Northey. But I still think Northey had a shotgun out there. But he was quite a guy. He was quite a guy, yeah. Right now, after the war and today yet, people that I really think about and who are great friends of mine, I get to Philly quite a bit. Fellows like Kurt Simmons and Robin Roberts and Del Ennis down there and Pudd'nhead Jones.
Right.
And I can mention a few, even the little Benny Culp and Andy Semenik, who was a great friend of mine. There's a lot of great ball players you can talk about and friends you can talk about. It's good to get together after you're out of baseball because you run into these fellows different places all over the country. I travel quite a bit. I work with different organizations in football and baseball. I do a lot with the Baltimore Orioles, the Phillies. I handle quite a few tickets for the Eagles and Baltimore Colts right now. But I travel to Houston, Astrodome. I travel with trips. I take people to see the Dome and see baseball. Which I think baseball is lacking in promotions all over the country.
Really?
They're really lacking. I think they're letting football, tennis, and everything, ice hockey, and even today the ice hockey little leagues are booming like a mushroom all over the country.
That's right. I'd like to get back to the 43 Phillies Club for a second. I'd just like to throw out some names
on
the pitching staff and get your impressions. How about Al Gerhauser?
I think he was the big left-hander, if I'm not mistaken. Well, going back that far, trying to remember, Al could throw, and he was quite a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you a full nine innings when he was around for nine innings, like a lot of the Philly players at that time. We finished on the bottom, I think, if you recall. But Schoolhouse was there. He was quite a pitcher in his days.
How about
Q.B. Barrett? I remember him because when they used to say Q.B. Barrett, I said, who the heck is Q.B. Barrett? And he was a small fella, little right-handed pitcher, and he really fought you down the line. But I don't know how they would make out in these times and the way baseball is today with the power hitters they have and each ball club coming up with so many fellas hitting home runs. I don't know how they'd make out. I think Schoolhouse could hold his own, even today. He was real smart, and he knew how to pitch. When he was at Detroit, I think he won, 16 games or something like that straight. I think he could.
I think so, yeah.
I think he could handle himself right now.
Right. But, let's think of other players in the 43 field.
Oh, 43,
about,
you can go with...
Babe Dahlgren.
Babe Dahlgren?
He was on that club.
I'll never forget Babe Dahlgren. In Reading, PA, right where I'm living today, he played at Lars Park. At first base when the Chicago Cubs come in to play the Interstate League.
Yeah.
And Babe Dahlgren.
He was on the Cubs
He was playing first base. And I thought I was pretty young then, and I really looked up to these fellas. And I never think I would be playing with the same guy in 1943. And here's Babe Dahlgren, who took over for the great Lou Gehrig at the Yankees.
That's right.
Be playing first base for the Philadelphia Phillies. And I would be in the same ball club.
Right. How about Merrill May? Do you remember anything about him?
Merrill May was a third baseman, infielder. He was quite a glove man. He had a great pair of hands. I believe his boy right now is quite a ball player with Pittsburgh.
That's right,
Milt May, a catcher.
How about Danny Murtaugh? What were your impressions of
Danny Murtaugh was Danny Murtaugh was the old type ball player. He was a fighter. He's like a gas house gang. He'd
really?
Fight you all the way. He'd give you 9 innings plus, and he was quite a second baseman. I think Danny was—he was a great major league ball player.
Danny Littweiler.
Well, Danny Littweiler, he was a good ball player. Even when he was with the Cardinals too, he was down with
right.
the Cardinals.
He traded that season to Buster Adams.
That's right, Buster Adams. I remember Buster Adams and Coca Triplett too.
Yes, Triplett was big. He could have Benny Culp said he could have been a great football player.
He was a powerful, strong. He was really powerful. He looked like a heavyweight fighter. Instead of a ball player, he looked like a pro football player. Coca Triplett had a strong looking face and neck on him and big arms. He was strong, he was very strong. And I think he had a brother, I think, played too. Had another brother played major league ball or minor league ball. There was another triplet. But Coca was, he was quite a man.
Do you have any interesting stories about travel restrictions or food and gas rationing during that season?
Well, that year, 1943, I didn't have to worry. All I had to do was sign my name. And I thought this was out of this world.
You didn't worry about get a Pullman necessarily on trains?
Gee, when we got the trains in, like today, everything's flying. They're flying all over the world. They fly first class. That was Pullman those days, and that was living. Boy, they said, gee, they're going by train, by Pullman, you know, a lot of kids think.
So for you at your age, that was big stuff.
That was big time baseball, yeah. So, but I really enjoyed every minute of it.
Good. Give me your impressions of Freddie Fitzsimmons. I mean, how was he to play for? I understand that he was a very proud person. He used to try and strike guys out in batting practice. He'd throw them all sorts of breaking stuff.
Yeah. He even pitched batting practice a few times, too.
What kind of a guy was Fitzsimmons, in your opinion?
Well, like I'm saying, at that time, I was only 18, and I'm just out of high school, you might as well say, and when you have a manager like Bucky Harris, who he was a good manager, just got the bad breaks of being in the last place ball club, and then a changing of ownership that year, somebody has to go. But Freddie was a hustler. Freddie loved to win. He was a pitcher, and any pitcher says they don't love to win, there's something wrong. But I think Freddie put a lot of his own feelings in to win. He even tried to strike out in batting practice. Like you say, what kind of a man was that? I don't know. All I can say is I think he wanted to win. Regardless how he wanted to win the ball game. That's the only thing I can say. I don't know, Freddie.
You haven't commented on Benny Culp. What were your impressions of him?
Benny Culp. Benny Culp was quite a guy to have around.
Was he a bullpen catcher? I know he appeared in only a few games.
They had him in the bullpen quite a bit to warm up the pitches and stuff. But a guy like Benny, I think there's a lot of major league clubs today that has a man like Benny around because it's good morale for the ball club. And if you need a man in a pinch, he's there. He could do the job. I knew Benny could do the job catching.
So he just kept the ball club loose and a lot of chatter.
Pardon me, I didn't hear you that time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did he keep the ball club loose? I mean, was he just
He kept him alive. He was a friendly guy, and he was full of jokes, and sometimes you'd have to laugh at him, some of the things he'd come out with, but Benny was there. Benny was a ball player. Not because he was in the bullpen.
Oh, no!
I think you're going to get that on your tape. I'm sorry.
That's
all right. Well, I think Benny was a big asset to the ball club. Just like I said, today they got to have somebody like that on the ball club.
The Hall of Fame wants to retake
We'll get that guy arrested. I'll give you his name then for saying that in the club. Is there any other thing? You just tell me.
I'm just trying to think of anything else that you can think of.
The only thing I can say, like I said before, going from high school to the big leagues, it was quite a thrill. And to pitch against fellas like Schnaz over there with the Giants, the catcher, Lombardi.
Right, you pitched against him. Do you think it hurt you in your later career, having come up so early?
No, I don't think so. I think even today, if a lot of young fellas are taken out of college and thrown right into the bull ring, I think it would help them experience-wise and would really... I think it would settle them down quicker than going to the minor leagues for 3-4 years and throwing themselves around.
I see.
If there's a pitcher or an outfielder or a hitter, whatever it is in college today, that...